like to talk about Henry David Thoreau's Walden, my favorite work. Walden is a very special book in a certain way. It creates a relationship between the reader and writer that you don't find in very many works. It's not necessarily a good relationship. Sometimes it can be rather rocky. Some people read Walden and they don't like Thoreau. Others become disciples. In fact, on the first reading in particular, it's very hard to give a kind of an objective analysis of it. What exactly is this kind of relationship between reader and writer? What is he doing with this? So I'd like to talk about it from this sort of rhetorical point of view. Just what exactly is happening and why? And I'd like to describe it in terms of a metaphor. Thoreau was pretty good at taking metaphors and turning them upside down, and I'd like to do a little bit of that. I'd like to think about Walden as a kind of transcendental striptease. Now, transcendental may be the easiest word for you on this one. Transcendental, you should have some idea what it means if you read your Emerson. Simply, very simply, I suppose, you could call it going beyond the fact to the idea. Looking beyond nature, perhaps, and usually, for some sort of embedded ideas, spiritual truths, or whatever. For Thoreau, it was also not just looking beyond, but maybe looking through the facts of nature. As he said, he wanted to see the facts blossom into truths. So he starts with something very concrete and goes from that to something very abstract, perhaps even intellectual, spiritual. So it is transcendental. What he is doing in Walden is very transcendental because he is in nature. He is looking at the facts of his life, at the facts of nature, and he is trying to look through them. All right, maybe you understand transcendental, but striptease? Thoreau probably seems like one of the least sexual writers you've ever run across in literature. Well, we'll leave that one for a minute. But let's do the kind of thing to the word striptease that he did. Let's look at each word very carefully and consider all the possible meanings it might have beside the usual one. Strip, for starters. Thoreau does strip in Walden. He strips himself down to the absolute necessaries of life, as he calls them. Food, heat, shelter, and clothing. He determines what would be the most basic things that he absolutely needs to live. Ah, there's a key word, to live. Why is he stripping down? He's stripping down more than just literally, though. He's also stripping down the expectations, the assumptions, the traditions, all the other things that people think he ought to be that just don't seem to work for him, and in fact don't seem to work for very many other people either. He wants to live life on its most basic terms. He wants not to be so, have his time caught up with doing things to make money so that he forgets and is unable to live. He wants to do what's important to him, not what other people think should be important. So he does, in fact, do a kind of literal strip for us in the beginning of Walden. In the same way, he causes the reader to undergo a kind of a stripping process, too. At least he tries. Because as he is stripping himself, he's criticizing society, they, for having such strange values, for doing so many things that actually, in the end, rob them of their lives, of the most meaningful parts of their lives. So he is, as he is criticizing them, though, you as a reader often become very uncomfortable as you realize he's not only criticizing them, but you are one of them. You are one of those people who thinks clothes are important, for example. Now, clothes here, there's another good example of the concrete, which is also means more. He is talking about literally clothes, but he is also talking about the baggage that we wear of what other people think, of assumptions that we have never looked at very carefully. Another way in which he strips is that he strips language. He looks at words that we're all used to using, and he strips them down to what they might really mean. He talks a lot about economy, for example, but it doesn't have anything much to do with economy as most of us would look at it. He's talking about how to live life most economically. In other words, how to not spend your time doing things that are not important to you, not important to what it really makes, what really means for you to live. He also redefines a lot of words. He uses paradoxes, for example. He talks about how voluntary poverty can be the greatest wealth. Strange. Or how the savage might be far more civilized than we are. Again, these kinds of ideas make us stop and look at language and look at the ideas that are around us. He turns our world upside down in certain ways. So he is bringing us into this process of stripping. True, we're probably not going to build a hut by a pond, but we are paying attention to the idea that we need to look at our assumptions, look at why we are living, and see if this is really, is this really how we want to spend our time? He certainly decided he didn't want to spend his time that way. Maybe we don't either. So this is part of what happens, is he strips, and it is a kind of an exhibition. As this eye goes through in building his house, we too are encouraged to look carefully at our lives and see if we are leading lives of quiet desperation. And if we are, what can we do to change them? Then comes the tease part. Anybody who doesn't realize that Thoreau has a great sense of humor is missing much of the book. He does tease his readers. He makes jokes. He makes plays on words. He teases in other ways, too. He doesn't say what he means often. You can read sentences, sometimes whole paragraphs, and when you finish, you say, what did he say? I promise you that does get easier with rereadings, but he does write these sentences that are very puzzling, and it seems like he is teasing you. He's not saying what it is that he's meaning. But that does also bring you into the book in a certain way. It demands a kind of an attention, because without it, you can't begin to understand what it is that he's saying. You've got to pay attention, because he's giving you hints, but he's not always telling the whole story. You have to figure what that is. There are other ways in which teasing is important, too. He's teasing the facts of nature. He's trying to tease the truths out of them. It's not a one-to-one relationship between what he observes in nature and the kind of truth that he sees embedded. As a matter of fact, I think he believes that there are many truths that can be embedded in the fact, whatever fact it is that he's looking at, and that those truths may be different for his reader than they are for him. So he teases out hints, suggestions, ideas, when he's talking about things like the pond or the bugs or the ants or the loon or beans or whatever fact that he's looking at very closely. It's not a one-to-one kind of a relationship. There are ideas, but you have to work hard to find out what they are. And in fact, he believes that that is the nature of truth. It is very well hidden, and it shows itself only by indirection and hints. So there's another kind of tease going on there, too. Another thing happens, too, as we get into where I lived and what I live for and pass that part of the book. And suddenly you become, as a reader, you are no longer you, you are no longer one of they, but you become a kind of a partner, a we. As he explores through nature and through his experience, you do, too. You become, no longer is he challenging you with questions and ideas, but you just sort of are there with him as he is going through his experiences, and you are experiencing them with him. You are more of a partner than an antagonist. So what's the object of this striptease? The object, I think, is to bring the reader into this world, to make the reader also think about ways in which he might want to strip down his life to the basics, to the essentials, and then how to figure out how to reconstruct his life. Thoreau reconstructs his life in one way. In fact, he's reconstructing it all the way through Walden. You might reconstruct yours in another. That's why you have to take hints, because you're going to see nature, you're going to read these truths perhaps differently from the way he is. It's very frustrating in reading it because it seems so open-ended, but that is, at the same time, its strength. You make it what you want. So if the book works as he intended, and for many readers it does, he draws you into his world through his striptease and makes you, in fact, a performer in your own world, so that you can reconstruct your own world, having decided by stripping that there are problems with the world that you presently live in. So it doesn't leave the reader in quite the same person he or she was when he began the work. At least that is the object of this transcendental striptease.